fighting for America.
Just let me go.
Bergdahl is being charged with counts of desertion and misbehavior before the enemy.
To try to bring back someone who turns out to have been a deserter is just heartbreaking.
Fighting for Idaho.
If historic racing goes away, if Senate Bill 1011 passes, we will close Lebois on June 30th of this year.
Fighting for you.
I did not lie, and I cannot believe that I have listened for almost 3 months about how we've been lied to. It just makes me sick, because I didn't lie, and there wasn't a soul who worked on this bill that did.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
After all this is finished and he gets an honorable discharge, I think it's more than a slap in the face. I think it's an absolute spit in the face of every single service member, whether it's Marines, United States Army, Navy, Coast Guard, whatever it is. I think that all of those people that have gotten out do have an honorable discharge and did their time and it was honorable. I think that if Bo Bergdahl gets out with an honorable discharge, it's an absolute disgrace. It's an absolute slap in the face of everybody in the history of the United States military that has served honorably with respect to everybody around them and to and that kept their oath that they're not going to leave their battle buddies in a time of need.
Battle buddies, there you have it from last night's Kelly File on the Fox News Channel. Good morning, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. The controversy continues over Bo Bergdahl. Now Bo coming out and saying, look, I was tortured, I was beaten, I was put in a box, I was threatened with my, you know, life, and now you have the military prosecuting him. Is that fair? We'll talk a little bit about that coming up. Also, Idaho teachers may get a raise. Does that solve the school problem? And the issue that we talked about earlier, if you see a police officer, whether they're in duty or on duty or not, drinking and driving, should they lose their job? You have ISP Major Clark Rollins, who has been placed on administrative leave after being arrested and charged with driving under the influence. Now, we live in a place where if you're a DWI attorney, you can make a lot of money. And not to belittle the process, because when you are impaired in your driving and doing these things, you put the lives of others at risk. Really, you know, how do we control ourselves? By being less selfish, I suppose. You know, the idea of I've got it, I got it. You know, how many times have you been at a gathering, a party, and people don't want to pay the $50 for a cab ride because they figure, oh, no worries, I got it, I got it. And then they're $1,500 to $3,000 in the hole. They lose their license. They do time at county. They're on the road picking up the trash because they didn't follow common sense. It's so easy to give common sense, so difficult sometimes for most of us to follow it. But I do believe when it comes to police officers that have a special responsibility, an inherent trust, if you will, that if found breaking the law, there should be consequences. Now, again, I do want to emphasize that the major is innocent till proven guilty. But in fact, if you're driving around allegedly drinking a beer while driving, chances are you shouldn't be driving anymore. Should this cost Major Rollins his job? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Apparently, he'll face an internal investigation to see if he broke the ISP policies. Now, on the other hand, I'm sure there are policies against drinking and driving, especially since there are laws against it, right? That's one story that we are covering. Are there special responsibilities? Or, on the other hand, look, if this gentleman is guilty, people make mistakes. You know, we've had high-profile people make mistakes. It's funny, isn't it, how less judgmental we are when we are the ones that make the mistakes. It really gives us perspective, right? We're all law and order until, uh-oh, we broke the law, or we're accused of breaking the law, right? uh-oh. And then what happens next? Then we kind of get more empathetic. All right, that's one issue. The other issue here, the state teacher pay raise bill has passed the state Senate. According to the Associated Press here at 580 KIDO, rookie teachers in Idaho would receive pay raises starting July 1 under the nearly $125 million proposal approved by the state Senate and sent to the governor for consideration. Republican co-chair Dean Cameron from Rupert, by the way, it's been a while since we've had the senator on. It'd be interesting to get his perspective on this, but this is what he has told the Associated Press. This move is expensive, but we cannot afford to move forward without it. Apparently, it is about attracting and retaining teachers. Lawmakers have promised to raise teacher pay since they slashed the public school's budget in 2009 due to the economic downturn. Now, remember, a governor's task force was formed and laid out 20 recommendations. Now, here's the skinny on this. And maybe you live in a place or you're like the homeschoolers yesterday where you sit back and say to yourselves, hey, man, my kids got good teachers. Or I can afford to send my kids to private schools. We have a lot of people that are diehard supporters of you and me and of this program that are not fans of public education. And then we have other people that, whether it's their choice or economically, they send their kids to public schools. They may be happy with it. They may not be happy with it. But they do the best that they can. And, you know, schools here produce some great quality products. I think here in the Treasure Valley, we're kind of immune to some of these problems. But again, we've heard of, you know, folks in Canyon County where you have people that are not certified to be teachers. Now, what does that mean to be certified? It means you go to college and you take behavioral courses, education courses, you student teach, you observe, you learn how to do lesson plans. Well, it's no big deal. I can do it. Ever go before a bunch of high schoolers and try and keep their attention? Never mind try and get them to learn something, or elementary school kids or middle school kids. You know, with all the issues that they have today, Senator Sitaway on this program talking about the crisis in East Idaho. In fact, he says no tax break will happen until the teachers get their raises. Now, we're all for people making money, but what has to give? What really has to give at 580-5436? 580-KIDO. I've never really wanted to run for office, but I think that somewhere along the lines, I believe that we need someone, maybe it's the governor, maybe it's the state school superintendent, I don't know.
We're the reddest of the red state in the United States of America. Let's stay that way. Thank you.
Wow. You're welcome, sir. But, you know, if I'm the, you know, or a state school superintendent, and Sherry Ibarra, you know, she's in there right now making her recommendations, but you know, someone who was a teacher, and I guess Ms. Ibarra was a principal and administrator. That's great for her. But someone who, you know, will go in and teach a class for a day and not only talk to the teachers, but the parents and the grandparents that are concerned about, you know, where does all the money go? Have you ever wondered, and it's half our general fund, so everybody has an interest in education here. It's half our general fund. Have you ever wondered where the money goes? Because apparently we're not paying teachers because we have the mass exodus of educators leaving the state. You have some places, even in Boise, where textbooks are checked out like they're in the library. You have other places that we've learned about that they can't get teachers because you can't pay them any money. And then we have the issue of mismanagement. What was it? $61 million with this boondoggle internet system that CenturyLink wants paid. And by the way, when the state did the contract, it was, what, it was at $8,000 per school. Now it's down to $4,000. In other words, whatever the figure was, it was cut in half. So at 580-5436, you know, are we ever going to have, and again, I get the governor and his task force here, are we ever going to sit back and delve into this and find out what really needs to be done? You have, again, according to the AP, rural districts often rely on substitute teachers and non-instructional staff to take over classes due to the inability to attract teachers through competitive salaries. That's a big issue, right? Especially when you're trying to attract big business, because nobody wants to go to a place where the schools aren't outstanding. Tea Party Bob joins us now at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Kevin. How are you this morning?
I am living the dream.
I had to catch you early because I'm heading down to the Capitol again to do a little testifying. I'm
sure they'll be happy to see you.
Oh, they're always happy to see me. You know, you're talking about the teachers and a pay raise and also the scandals that have taken place. The money that they dropped on the Wi-Fi is probably going to run into the $30 million, $40 million area. And the money they dropped on the school net is another $61 million. That would have been enough alone to give the teachers a pay raise. And I don't understand. The governor is all hot about doing the highways and getting the roads fixed, but why can't he pay for good teachers? Instead, he wants to take care of the contractors that fix the roads. I don't quite get this. And as far as us being the reddest of the red states, as I always said, I think we're the bluest of the red states.
We're the reddest of the red states in the United States of America.
Let's stay that way. Thank you.
You know, we have legislators down there. For Dean Cameron to even think about not getting this bill passed and getting it signed would be a travesty. We lose teachers all the time because we can't pay them enough. And we can't hire the teachers from around the area because they're paying so much better in Utah and Wyoming.
Right, but half of the general fund goes to education. Where's the money going? We have places with no textbooks. We have levies being passed all the time. We're not paying teachers.
Well,
where is the money going? And I get the mismanagement of the internet system, but where else is the money going? Is it all being soaked up by administrators?
Yes, and let me put it to you this way. I've gone through the administrators and their pays and what they get paid. It took me over 8 pages, single-line pages, before I found someone that made under $100,000. The fact that we have 115 school districts in this state, plus the charter schools, is probably the biggest waste that we have going on, because we have administrators in every one of those small districts. If they could be consolidated and we could get rid of half of the chiefs and bring on more Indians, which is what we really need. We need the teachers, not the administrators. We could probably afford to pay everybody a very good salary and retain the good teachers and hire new teachers that are of some good quality. I think Senator Sitaway is more than appropriate in doing what he's doing, and they should be getting the $40,000, this $37,000 over 5 years. I mean, that's pie in the sky. It's a big joke. We should have been paying teachers that kind of money for a long time. The average median salary in Idaho, and it's one of the lowest in the country, if not the lowest, is $46,000 a year. Starting pay for a teacher is about $32,000. And what they're doing now is they're not even going to get them up to the medium. They're going to talk about $37,000 for somebody in 5 years for starting salaries.
Right.
Not fair. And it's not going to work.
Well, it's almost managed. Tea Party Bob from the Gem State Patriot, thank you, sir.
Take care.
All right, we'll see him at the legislature. 718, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO, time for traffic now.
If you eliminate historical racing now, you will decimate the equine industry in Idaho.
We thought we were supporting a game of skill. It turns out that isn't what we got. A mistake was made, and we need to fix it.
If historic racing goes away, if Senate Bill 1011 passes, we will close LeBlanc on June 30th of this year.
My question is, how many other industries do we want to help survive by allowing them to go into the gaming industry?
Making sense of a senseless world. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. Felt good to be out of the rain.
In the desert, 580KIDO, 725 coming up. We'll get into the Common Core debate. Also, Reverend Bill Roscoe of the Boise Rescue Mission will join us. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO, as we were talking about. Do teachers deserve a pay raise? It looks like that will happen because we're losing a bunch of teachers, according to our public officials. Number one. Number two, speaking of jobs, is it up to the government to save, to really save horse racing here in Idaho? Yesterday, big debate going on before the statehouse, if you will. 49-21, a bill that would ban Idaho's slot-like instant horse racing machines passed the House. It's now up to Governor Otter. Here's some of the debate. Here's Representative Christy Perry here at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's take a listen to that as we move along here.
Of all the words and rhetoric and everything that has been said, I would hope that you would ask me about it, because I know what I said. I know what I stood up on this floor and said. I know what I said in the committee, and I know what was said with the people and all the industry that was behind the bill.
You know, this is why I have issues. You know, wouldn't it be great if you could, if we could control our own destiny? So, would we have been better off not opening up LaWall Race or Race Park? By the way, the Senate voted 25-9 to pass this thing. It goes on to the governor's desk. So, you're an investor in the Green Group, and you come out to Idaho, you invest, everything is going well, you get these machines in, and boom, you upset the wrong person. The Coeur d'Alene tribe, they hire a lobbyist, they come in, they successfully argue using the process to the state Senate, the state House, and boom, you're going to lose a bunch of money and have a bunch of elected officials saying they made a bad call at the line of scrimmage.
The second thing I really want to stand up here and say in front of you, in this house, and in front of God and everybody, is that I did not lie. And I cannot believe that I have listened for almost 3 months about how we've been lied to. It just makes me sick, because I didn't lie. And there wasn't a soul who worked on this bill that did. And I'm so upset by that.
Wow. Strong words.
The second thing I really want to stand up here and say in front of you, in this house, and in front of God and everybody, is that I did not lie. And I cannot believe that I have listened for almost 3 months about how we've been lied to. It just makes me sick, because I didn't lie. And there wasn't a soul who worked on this bill that did. And I'm so upset by that.
I think the issue, though, is all that's lost, right? People are going to lose jobs. The investors will lose their money. Garden City will lose the economic impact, right?
You take 100 people and take them into the turf club and ask them where they are, they're going to tell you they're in a casino, most of them.
We go to Jerry in Meridian with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I've got a pretty good idea on the teachers and what they make and things like that. My wife is a retired first grade teacher in from the Meridian School District, and there are some teachers that are not real good, but not very many. Most of them, they go into teaching not for the money. They go into teaching because that's what they want to do. And I see my wife get up and leave for school at 6:30, 7 in the morning. And I was at home working at that time in my own shop. And I would try to have supper ready for her when she got home. And sometimes she would be home by 6, sometimes later. It's not an easy job. When the hardest thing to deal with, it seems like, is the parents at times. But they take a lot of pride in the product they put out. If you had a factory making something and you had some bad parts come in that you needed to use for the product you were making, and they weren't working very well, you'd toss them.
Like defective parts, right?
Yeah. You can't do that in teaching, because every kid that comes through the door deserves to be taught, deserves an education, regardless of the preparation they got at home or regardless of what, you know, preparation they've had. Because, see, it's not an easy job, but they work hard at it. Talk about the summer times when you're working on your master's degree, sometimes taking classes in the evening so that
right.
they can
so,
get through it.
So, Jerry, with respect, my friend, your point being?
My point being is they deserve a raise. They deserve to make as much as other people do with the education they have. But they do okay. And believe me, now that she's retired, the program they've got for retirement is very, very good.
Yeah, it's good. Well, Jerry, I got to run, but you call back again, would you?
You bet.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye-bye. A vote for raising teachers' salaries. Coming up next, Common Core, Kevin Miller and you, 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Spring is here. Idaho students have been studying hard all year in time for the Idaho Student Achievement Test. The end of the grade assessment is new. This is the first time we are measuring our kids' math and reading skills to reflect Idaho's higher standards. Test results should not be compared to past scores. It will take time to adjust to improved standards, which help our kids prepare for college or a great career. Get the facts on SBAC at sde.idaho.gov. That's sde.idaho.gov. Brought to you by State Department of Education.
There you have it. $5,000 in radio advertising from the State Department of Education. Schools will test 150,000 students in 3rd through 8th grade and 10th grades as well. Joining us now to discuss Common Core, its future nationally and in the Gem State, is Brian Watson, currently the chairman of the Board of Directors and mentor for Save Our Youth, board member and president of Brokers Benefiting Kids from Colorado. Mr. Watson, thank you for joining us. Good morning, sir.
Thanks for having me on today. I appreciate it.
So Common Core, it's being instituted in Idaho, but some states are saying, we're just about done with it. What's going on?
Well, you know, there was 46 states that signed on to the standards and agreed to implement them fully by this school year. By this year, though, 15 of the original 46 made efforts to withdraw, and 4 completely did. And so, you know, basically this idea of Common Core, it was designed by the help of the Gates Foundation. They put in about $160 million to create these standards. And a lot of states and a lot of people aren't very happy with them.
Well, if people are so unhappy with them, how do they trickle in? Was it states needing the money?
Well, what really happened is that they got together. There was 25 individuals comprised mainly of test makers from the College Board and test publishers from ACT and Achieve. And basically they came up with the standards, and there were no teachers involved, no parents involved in this process until much later. And a lot of people are rebelling against it just because they feel it's a way of the, you know, powers that be out there to kind of shove standards down, that there's no real definition of whether these standards are actually going to be successful for kids getting into college and being successful in the program. You know, there's a big difference between Common Core, which is this idea of, you know, government and you know, these standards being put in, versus core knowledge. And, you know, core knowledge are, can kids read and write and have a certain level? And a lot of people believe that each state should help set those standards for what they want to see achieved for their children. But this idea of Common Core has really had a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths.
Of course, the folks here in Idaho would argue, sir, that, hey, bright lights, big city, our standards have fallen behind. We can't sufficiently train our kids, so let's take our direction from the feds.
Well, and again, I think that should be a state's rights issue. If the people of the state want to do that, and that's something they want to go forward on, then that state should follow the standards that it believes are going to be the most impactful and beneficial for their kids. it, the issue really becomes this idea of, you know, who is best to decide the future for those kids. And I, you know, a lot of people believe that, again, it's a state's rights issue, and the state should help decide that.
Many people are concerned about the growing data collection, even people that are proponents of Common Core.
They are. And this idea of, you know, having knowledge and information on every person, you know, is concerning. I mean, it's partly the way we're going as a society with technology the way that it is. And, you know, I personally believe that, you know, having some standards and encouraging schools to rise up and to do the best that they can with the resources that they have is a good thing. But to me, it really comes down to this idea that it is a state's rights issue. I do believe in this idea of having a core knowledge, but a common core, again, being pushed down upon people is what really is causing consternation. And you're right, having all this information about each and every person and each and every school.
Now, as far as is this more of a grassroots campaign? Is it parents? Is it educators? We've talked to educators and they seem to love the Common Core. Of course, we talk to parents and they say, well, of course so, because they can't speak out against it.
Yeah. Well, first of all, there was a misconception, a little bit of a fallacy that some people believe that Common Core was something that the federal government was pushing down the throats of schools and parents and those type of things. It actually was this consortium of beginning those 25 individuals that were mainly comprised of test makers. And so that's where it was a real problem, because for a lot of people, they didn't feel that a lot of educators and parents and those type of things were involved in what those standards are and how they were going to be implemented. Those groups did have some commentary after the fact, but a lot of it had already been set up and taken care of. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where it comes out. A lot of teachers that I know, including my sister, who's a teacher, you know, they have a real problem in the classroom because they feel like they're always taking tests that for the Common Core now or whatever it might be in these different state tests. And so they're spending more time taking tests than necessarily teaching, as adding more burden for the teachers in the classroom. Again, I think we all can agree that there should be some type of a measurement, some type of standards put in to make sure that our kids are being educated properly. And, you know, my hats go off to teachers because it's a tough job that they have in the classroom, and it's such an important job as well.
It seems, though, that this is like a bipartisan issue when we're talking about most Republicans, like here in Idaho, we've got 80% of the folks at the legislature that are Republicans, I think at least, maybe 85%, but they voted it in.
They did. I think a lot of people did. Again, 46 of the states wanted to do it originally. And again, I think that everybody can agree that there is an issue with education in America, and it needs to be addressed. And so I think for a lot of people, having standards and understanding what we're measuring to see if successful results are being achieved is important, and to figure out what that looks like. The issue for a lot of libertarians and a lot of very conservative Republicans, though, I know in other states, has been, well, now that this has come out, it sure feels like it's, you know, not what they originally thought it was going to be. And that is this idea that it's, you know, is it pushing a certain curriculum, making every, you know, school and child learn a certain, read a certain book, for instance, versus can you read? And so I think a lot of people are taking a second, harder look at it to decide if it really makes sense for them or not. And again, there's been a backlash already with 15 states, and it'll be interesting to see if it continues to be implemented and if this holds on or not.
Well, let's get your review of this ad here.
Spring is here. Idaho students have been studying hard all year in time for the Idaho Student Achievement Test. The end of the grade assessment is new. This is the first time we are measuring our kids' math and reading skills to reflect Idaho's higher standards. Test results should not be compared to past scores. It will take time to adjust to improved standards, which help our kids prepare for college or a great career. Get the facts on SBAC at sde.idaho.gov. That's sde.idaho.gov.
Is it unusual that you have the state of Idaho spending $5,000 to promote this?
Well, it is. I mean, again, and that's taxpayer dollars. So they're using taxpayer dollars to promote a program that, you know, they believe is hopefully going to have an impact and have measurable impact. again, I think each state should have the ability to decide, is it they're going to have their own standards and have a state test, or do they want to use Common Core or some other method to test their students? But clearly, that ad is trying to make it and put it in a positive light. It's also trying to cover their backsides by saying that, you know, this test does not compare to any previous tests, and we're focusing on improvement. So it'll be interesting to see what the results are. But if the people of Idaho decide that, then, you know, obviously that's something that they should move forward with. And, you know, a lot of people shouldn't have any problem with that. It's just making sure that you're understanding what tests are you using and what are those measurement standards going to be.
Mr. Watson, thank you for your insight.
Thank you very much.
All right, Brian Watson there. Let's go to the phones. We go to Earl in Meridian. Thanks for your patience. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. I hope you're doing well.
I'm living the dream, sir. And you?
I'm doing well as well. I will tell you, when I hear $5,000 spent on a commercial, and you know my view on the them spending money, I say arg. It drives me up a wall. I did want to comment a little bit on Common Core and then on the pay raise as well. I do believe that Common Core is not something that's best for the state of Idaho. I was curious to hear from that gentleman reference larger metropolitan areas, Chicago, New York City, Houston, LA, how that's going to affect them, since they, from rumors and everything you hear, that they don't have the best education systems in the world, and they pass a lot of people on without them actually being educated. But again, that's rumor. I don't have scientific data behind that. As far as the teacher pay raise is concerned, I really think we should do that as a state. But, and I'm probably going to have to be a little bit more like Tea Party Bob and go find that bill and read it prior to it being passed. I want assurances that it's going to the teachers and not to the administrators. They, you know, they've mismanaged, what, almost $100 million with the 61, all that money added up. It seems to me like they don't manage their money very well, and we're being told, well, this is for a teacher pay raise. Do we have that information solidly behind us to say this is directly going to go to teachers and not across the board to include administrators?
Well, and again, it's not like we're not spending the money when over half the general fund goes to education. It seems kind of odd, Earl, that we're losing teachers. We're, you know, we've got some schools without textbooks. And, you know, we got these levies going on. You know, where's the beef? Where's the cash?
Yes, you're right. I have a daughter in middle school, and I had to go to a major office supply store to buy a mathematics textbook.
No way.
It wasn't supplied by the school. We had to go get it printed out. Otherwise, she could check it out.
Like the library.
Yes. And that was where we had to go to take care of that textbook. We had to go purchase it ourselves. I may be wrong about checking it out in the library. They may have had enough for in the classroom, but then they had to take them back at the end of each lesson. It's one of those two. My apologies for not having all those facts down, but we did go buy the textbook. So
isn't that odd when you think about here we are in 2015 that you and I had textbooks, whether they were carved up or not, but we could take them home?
Yes, especially carved up, but still we had them. I don't see that happening as much. My daughter's book bag comes home, and I don't see much in the way of their books. I see a lot in the way of my books. Purchasing books for English classes because they have to read something that's modern and contemporary, which the library doesn't have yet. It's my daughter's choice as to what she's going to read that's modern and contemporary, but they don't have a large selection. So like you've said, we are spending half of our general fund on education. We have shown that the legislature mishandles the money, or does it go down to the school and do they mismanage the money, or the school, you know, the school districts? Either way, it looks like the state is mishandling it because of their, you know, whole thing with with the computer issue. That seemed to be a legislature-driven issue. It is just kind of ridiculous that we should pass a bill to give it to teachers until we know it's going to teachers. It should go to the teachers. Let's make sure it goes there. That's the biggest thing. Let's make sure it goes to the right location.
Earl, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. 7:52. Time for traffic now.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right, coming up, the ubiquitous Reverend Bill Roscoe will join us next hour. We're excited about that. Craig and Linda, please hang on or give us a call back. We want to make sure you have plenty of time to talk about teacher raises. Maybe we'll ask Reverend Bill about that. He always has an opinion about things. If you check him out on Facebook, it is 42 in Nampa. Time for traffic. 7:59, spring is here, but our dedication to the community continues. Coming up, find out what you can do to support our friends at the Boise Rescue Mission. In addition to that, a great story that will be told about bravery, valor, and honor right here in the Treasure Valley. We'll share where you can watch that story coming up next. Why don't you stay with us through Fox News on the radio? Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Good morning.